Welcome to the Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, this is another story from the Jewish Storytelling Project, a program that ran this past season at the Levis JCC in Boca Raton, and the storyteller's name is Etta Schaefer.
I was boarding a plane bound for Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was late August of 1991, and my husband of 32 years had died June 1st. I had stayed on Long Island in a rented house in the community we lived in for 32 years. I was returning to my Florida apartment for good, and I was carrying a small case with Louie. Louie was a cockatiel, gray, with a yellow plume on the top of his head, the size of a parakeet. And Louie could talk. In fact, Louie could say, "Hello, pretty girl." Dawn had bought Louie for me the past Christmas, and that was the last gift he ever gave me. He named him Louie for Louis Armstrong, his idol. Dawn was a musician. I was seated in an aisle seat, and there was a lady sitting in the window seat of my row. I put Louis's case on the floor in front of me. It was about, 12 inches square and about 5 inches high. I had paid the airline $50 for the privilege of doing this. When I reached down, it felt very cold on the floor next to Louis. And I knew that the one thing that can kill a bird is cold, and they could catch a draft and die. And that was the last thing I wanted to happen with my precious gift. I called the stewardess and asked for a blanket to cover the case. She replied that there were none available. And I must have looked really, really upset at the thought that this last gift to me from someone I missed so could die from a draft. She told me to follow her and bring the case. We walked into the first class portion of the airplane, where I had never, ever been before. There were a number of seats that were empty. She took the case and put it on one of the seats. Then she took the seat belt and hooked it through the handle of the case and said that when the flight was over, I could come and get Louie. Needless to say, I was pleased that Louie wasn't going to get sick on the cold floor. Instead, he was flying with the hotshots up in first class, the big spenders. I returned to my seat at the back of the plane with the peasants and told the lady in the window seat where Louie was. The middle seat between us was empty, and I put a canister that I had in a small cloth bag on the seat. It was holding Dawn's ashes in it, and I was leaving it there in preparation for takeoff. I certainly couldn't put that on the floor. All at once, I thought about what was going on, and the enormity of all of this had suddenly hit me. I was a New Yorker. I was born in New York City. I lived on Long Island for 32 years of my marriage, and here I was going to a new state, a new place, all alone. I was leaving my life and everything that I had ever known and loved. I quit my job, all of my friends and my family. I was suddenly completely overcome with the enormity of all of this. And I started to cry. And I cried, really uncontrollably, as you cry when you're alone and in the state I was in. The woman in my row, who was an eyewitness to everything that had just happened, looked at me, and she was very, very serious. And she said, "Don't worry, my dear. You'll see the bird again when we land." her comment was so ludicrous that I stopped crying. I even smiled at her.
Etta Schaefer with a story about a misinformed sympathizer.
That's a good way of saying it, Michael. This story, I love that it came out through the Jewish Storytelling Project, because there is a tradition in Jewish storytelling of laughing through tears, that life is so tragic, that things are so bad, as we know from the history of the Jewish people, that we've just got to laugh. So here is a wonderful example of this laughing through tears. Here, this is a widow who is leaving home, whose husband has just died, who is going through so many changes in her life. Okay, she doesn't give out raucous laughter exactly, but she can't help smiling over this well-meaning stranger's comment.
It's nice that she was able to laugh even, like you say, even though she was holding her husband's ashes.
With all that was going on in her life at that moment, she had the wherewithal to be concerned about her pet, because it's possible that she would have been thinking only about herself. You know, I often say that the story, whether purposely or not, says so much about the storyteller. And the fact that she wasn't thinking only about herself and about her own losses and about her own pain, that she was thinking about the well-being of this bird, really said a lot about Etta.
I thought the story was going to be more to the fact that the bird got first class and she didn't.
Which was very funny. And the story really sent us in a number of different directions. You really couldn't tell where it was going. There wasn't a whole lot of foreshadowing in the story, except that we could tell that there was humor, because she was already talking about her bird with the big spenders or the high flyers. There was another irony in this. Who thinks about a bird taking a flight? You know, when you hear about a bird in flight, you don't really think about a bird in a seat in first class or economy. So the whole story has a lot of lovely little insights and little tricks to it.
Well, it gets me mad, too, because I've never flown in first class.
I know, but luckily you've never sat on the floor during a whole flight either, because it gets cold down there from what Etta tells us. I will say that the bird was a symbol, and I hate to bandy about that word too much when we're doing kitchen table storytelling here.
It wasn't a phoenix.
It wasn't a phoenix rising from the ashes, but still and all, even what I like to call kitchen table informal storytelling can contain symbols. And I think that bird was a symbol of her love for her husband and of her caring about that relationship. So her preservation of the bird and the bird in first class tells us this was a first class relationship, and she's going to continue to give it first class treatment. And I love that about the story as well.
Well, thank you for bringing it in, Karen. If our listeners would like to share their story, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Or contact me here, 305-995-2264. And our website has contact information, as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.